Good morning, everyone. Eric Perez, CEO of the Queensland Seafood Industry Association. I am extremely lucky this morning to be joined by my colleague in Victoria, Jonathan Davey, who's the Executive Director of Seafood Industry Victoria. How are you, Jono?
I'm good, Eric. Good morning. Thank you, everyone, for the time. And you know, it's a pretty dark feeling here in Victoria at the moment. But you know, it's good to have an opportunity to share some of the concerns and also, I guess, discuss some of the options and some of the pathways forward. And it's going to be a long, I'd say, probably 3 to 6 months in terms of where we're going from here. And, you know, good to have the support of others around the country.
And that you'll have in spades. It's unfortunate that I'm calling from a state that's had this in a big way with the net-free zones, and it's resonating with commercial fishers that know something about what's going on in Victoria. It's only recently breaking news, and unfortunately the idea that or the concept that commercial fisheries are going to not be used as a political football has not died away, and we can see that in what's happening in Victoria. So
yeah, I guess from us it's 4 years ago today exactly that we had the announcements on Port Phillip Bay dropped on us.
Right.
And now we're two days into a caretaker mode and a campaign mode where, you know, we've literally had all signs of nothing gonna happen. We've been on the front foot, we've been working extremely hard for the last 6 to 12 months, and whack, it happens again. And you know, I can't feel enough and express my, you know, feelings enough for the guys in the Gippsland Lakes who, while everyone says there's only 10 licences, in terms of the people and the businesses and the individuals that it supports, this goes far greater than just 10 people.
Yeah.
You know, this is 10 if not more generational fishing families who are going to have their livelihood ripped away from them. And what's really interesting is everyone, you know, the Andrews Labor Party are out there talking about removing the netting entitlements, but in their thing, in their statement, it says we're going to remove the nets from the Gippsland Lake by buying out the licences. So it's not even as though these guys have a future doing something else in the Gippsland Lakes.
Yeah. Okay. So did you have some sense that this was coming, Jono?
No, none of those. So well. You could probably put two and two together fairly quickly and work out you're going to get four in terms of the size of our industry, the nature in which we're very much out of sight, out of mind. And, you know, but we've obviously been working very hard on behalf of industry to make sure that we were presenting facts, ensuring sustainability, being on the front foot. We held back in early September, a Victorian Seafood Parliament House dinner, and had a strong presence from the political realm, and everything out of that was extremely positive. We've had great follow-ups with people. We've been working very closely with the Nature Conservancy and Ausfish Unlimited, who are environmental and recreational groups, who are sitting there going, well, the last thing we want to do is remove 10 people from their jobs. Let's put in a plan based on science and environmental rehabilitation to begin to create more fish for everyone in the Gippsland Lakes, as opposed to a simple, easy decision of resource sharing of chop one and favour the other.
Yeah, okay. I guess the politics of this is that
that's the real word, the politics of it. This is all politics. There's nothing to this. There's no research. There's no evidence. There's no rationale. There's been no consultation. This is just politics. And, you know, it's another electoral cycle in Victoria. How the hell do we as an industry across the country get on top of this so that we start to stop this electoral cycle of targeting, bullying and removing commercial fishing?
Well, just as an example up here, through the so-called reform process that we're going through, the minister set up through the department resource reallocation policy, but when they put together their draft changes to our fisheries legislation up here, just as an example, the minister still has the right to make a call on resource sharing irrespective of what policies are there. So that political door is always open. And yeah, look, I think we'd be very rich if we can work out what the formula is to stop this from happening, or how do you galvanise industry across the country to say to politicians everywhere, enough is enough.
Yeah, and look, I guess one of the frustrating things that we've been doing a hell of a lot of work on over the last couple of years in particular to try and turn around, I guess, is all of these discussions, there's commercial, there's environmental, there's recreational, they're pretty much the voices around the table. We've got, I don't know, what is it, 26 million people now in Australia?
Roughly, yep.
How do we get those guys thinking about this in terms of the commercial fishers being the way that the consumer accesses their seafood? We know, and the stats show, that everyone wants to eat local seafood. You know, we've got upwards of 80% in latest figures in Victoria of seafood being consumed is imported. We're never going to provide that much. And we're always going to need local and imported and aquaculture seafood. What's the balance? Surely it's not no wild catch and imports and aquaculture is what the future is. I can't buy into that. And so you kind of sit there and go, well, the consumer are the ones that need to buy into that, but they're the voice that's never being heard in these discussions. And you know, the numbers of consumers, and bear in mind that the vast majority of recreational fishers are also seafood consumers and buy seafood at some stage. That group is so powerful and has so much power behind them, but they're silent because they have no way of expressing their voice. So when you look at it, the commercial seafood industry are by proxy the representative of the consumer. But as soon as you start trying to have that discussion with the political minds in the country, it gets completely glossed over.
Yeah, let's not give them too much credit. I wouldn't use political mind. It's kind of an oxymoron with politicians. We'll start with best case scenario. I'm assuming that Seafood Industry Victoria are going to respond to this.
So we've responded. SIA have responded, and we thank them for that as well. So we've put a joint media release out together as of yesterday and looking to try and drive some interest in that. We've got our Liberal National Party here in Victoria have come out with a voluntary buyout and a rehabilitation program for the Gippsland Lakes. So best case scenario is we actually have a change of government and we don't lose 10 licences.
Yep.
Worst case scenario, we end up with a commitment, and as I know, that is, all it is at the moment is a commitment, and that commitment is to remove the 10 licences. The process that needs to go through will start unpacking over the coming weeks in terms of, you know, obviously we've got the election on the 24th of November, what measures then need to be implemented going forward for this to be rolled out and successful, given the fact that they're going to do it over a four-year period. So we'd imagine that there's some form of legislation requirement there. What does that look like? How do we play in that space? And, you know, where can we call on others to support and help us in that future work program, I guess, is sort of what I'd flag today. We'll obviously continue working very closely with the 10 licence holders and the community down in and around the Gippsland Lakes, and obviously working more broadly with the Victorian and Australian seafood industry in terms of how we actually position and reposition ourselves going forward and what that looks like.
Yeah, that sounds That sounds positive, I guess, because this is now not just a Queensland or Victorian phenomenon. It's going to continue as politicians of all stripes.
Exactly right. And I think the fact that we look across the country and the vast majority of the country is in drought, and we know that drought on the land results in a drought in the sea. So it's not just a Victorian-centric thing. This is something that needs to be considered and a program implemented nationally. And done properly with the right work program, we can boost stocks for everyone. We can provide more local jobs and economic development. And we just need government support to help us do that. Continuing to chop one sector out for the benefit of the other is not the answer. And I don't think any of us would agree that that is the answer.
Yeah, that's right. Hopefully that message that you've just outlined gets to the to politicians of all stripes in your state.
Yeah, look, and I mean, the only other thing that I've got on my mind is I guess the mental health and the feeling of the guys down in Gippsland at the moment. And I know that it's not just in Gippsland; it's across the rest of the state. And you know, from discussions I've had with yourself and others, Eric, it's not just a Victorian-centric thing either. It's the mental health side of things of the fishing industry with these sort of decisions being made on the run in a political cycle. You know, it's going to take its impact. It's going to have a toll. There's no doubt about it. And so, you know, however we come together, we need to consider the fact that there are people's livelihoods at stake here. We've already got the research that identifies the fact that the fishing industry isn't in a great place already.
John,
pretty tough time.
Yeah, John, I was just going to say, look at the rhetoric. The government says, oh, we're just buying or reacquiring 10 licenses. It's not 10 licenses, it's 10 family businesses that have been there for multiple generations providing seafood to locals, and that's what gets missed in a lot of this. And, with all the best of intentions, I think government doesn't realise that they're dealing with human beings and not a set of numbers in a book. But this is the way fisheries are being treated around the country. And, look, from a Queensland perspective, you can pass on our thoughts to the fishermen in that area. We hope that they get the best outcome possible. This is not a good situation, and, hopefully your advocacy and help from SIA and others, and I can't speak for the rest of the country, but definitely if we can do something to help, please let us know.
Greatly appreciated.
The collateral.
We'll continue the good fight. As soon as we start to get some collateral and stuff pulled together in the coming weeks, we'll make sure that it's, you know, distributed widely and, that it actually applies more broadly than just in the Gippsland Lakes.
All right. Thank you, Jonathan.
No worries. Appreciate it.
Well, thanks, everyone, for listening into this podcast. We'll update the situation in Victoria as it progresses. And, again, thanks for your time, mate, and best of luck.
Cheers, Eric. Thanks, everyone. Speak soon.